Blog Talk Radio. As of the 1st of October 2019, in South Australia, a new law was passed that allows a public servant to enter, remain, inspect, or use reasonable force to break into any premise, place, vehicle or vessel. This public servant can remove items from the premises to be used as evidence in future, and a warrant is not required if there is a suspicion, just a suspicion, that a vulnerable adult is at risk of abuse. Matters will then be directed to a court or tribunal that is not bound by the rules of evidence, can determine matters as it thinks fit, and can reach an outcome, just, on the balance of probabilities. Not beyond reasonable doubt. Victims often end up a ward of state. The public guardian and public trustee are often placed as the ultimate decision maker and take over all affairs. These laws are expected to be rolled out in other states next year. Are you scared yet?
Good evening, everyone. This is Marty Oakley of the PPJ Gazette Online, and this is the TS Radio Network. Our show tonight is In the Mix with me and Kaz. Say hello, Kaz. She's not talking. Nobody's talking. What is wrong with this picture? I guess it's just going to be me. She's on here, but she's not doing nothing. something is wrong. We're getting a lot of static, a lot of interference this evening. So hopefully Lisa and Kaz can get hooked up. While we're waiting for them, I wanted to kind of talk to everybody about this coronavirus thing. The president, as I understand it, has gone ahead and declared a national emergency. And what that means is they are declaring medical martial law. That is the same thing as just martial law with an extra name on it. It means they can suspend the Constitution, all your rights and protections, and they can basically do whatever they want. We will have no laws whatsoever that we would like. There will be no travel, as I understand it. You can't move from one place to another. You will have to, what they call it, social distancing, which basically means self-quarantine in your own house. Now, while all this mess is going on, and the reason it's actually going on is Wall Street and the banking sector is on the verge of collapse. The Fed has been loaning billions of dollars to keep it solvent so that you don't know how bad things really are. To cover this up, they cranked up this coronavirus thing. China is now accusing the United States of seeding this virus over there, but they have already very much recovered from it. They're back up and running again. The transmission rate has dropped precipitously, so it isn't near the disaster they intended it to be. But we have the government with money funding. We're seeing schools, Pennsylvania, just all their schools were ordered to be closed today by the governor. I believe Maryland has also done the same thing or done many of them. We're seeing universities and colleges closed across the country, people closing down their businesses, others told not to come to work. This is going to be a financial and economic disaster for this country. And none of it had to happen. None of it. But it's all to protect these people in these banks and on Wall Street. Now, while all this is going on, Trump started bombing Iran today. We are going back to war like we need another war, and against a country that hasn't done anything to us. But this is American imperialism for you. And it is empire building. And we're going to pay the price on all of it. The American public is going to pay the price on all of it. And we are going to be responsible for yet again hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of deaths of people that caused us no harm. So think about all that as we go into tonight. I want to extend on behalf of everybody a sincere gratitude for having put out the Dirty Money episode on Guardianship Incorporated. Lisa, of course, was featured in that. She'll be our guest this evening. But it exposed this whole racket to the whole country. Nobody, our legislators, nobody can any longer say they didn't know. Nobody told them, what do you want us to do? Well, there's nothing we can do about it. Yes, you can. You just won't. Here in Minnesota, we have numerous bills coming out that supposedly are going to protect the elderly. Not one of them preserves their rights, their identity, their assets, nothing. And any place in those bills where it says, for instance, on isolation, you know, is prohibited unless otherwise ordered by a probate judge. In every instance where there might be some protection for the senior, that paragraph in that bill is followed immediately unless otherwise ordered by a probate judge. In other words, the bills are worthless and they cement into action and into law the right of these guardians to continue to do what they're doing. One bill, 3391, actually calls for and allows the judge to break trusts, to allow the guardian to break into wills and the beneficiaries on there to dismiss them and replace them with beneficiaries of their choice, even if it's themselves. Nothing is safe and secure. My suggestion to everyone who made these estate plans is sue the attorney who sold those plans to you. They sold them to you as if they were an expert in this field, and they knew damn well those papers were not worth the ink that it took to print them. They can be discarded at will across the country by any probate examiner. These are, like I said before, you might think this doesn't matter. It does. They call them judges. They are not. They are hearing examiners, administrative executives. This is what they are. They are usually governor appointed. They're not under the judiciary except in a few states like Illinois that somehow ran them up under the district courts. But this is a system that's running. It is a racket. It is racketeering from one end to the other. And it's operating in every state. And they estimate, according to the people in Dirty Money, they estimate that somewhere between $500 billion and $1 trillion a year is being stolen from the elderly by these predators gaming the system. As I said in the promo, the person you want to hold most accountable is that probate judge. That's who facilitates everything. That's who makes sure the system runs as they intended. And as I've told you many times, you can't fix what ain't broken. This system is not broken. It's running exactly the way they intended it. It needs to be abolished. This needs to end. This is human trafficking. I don't care how you slice and dice it, throw it up in the air. This is exactly what it is. And just because the government is doing it or their agents are doing it doesn't make it any less so. Anyway, Cause, what's up with you? I'm done with my rant. Go ahead.
Oh, you know, I just want you to add Wisconsin to the list. The governor just announced that school is out. UW-Wisconsin, the university system, most of those closed a couple days ago, made national news. But all the public schools will be closed. They're not opening up Monday. So everyone's going to have an extended spring break. And I hope they all go out and eat a lot of donuts because they're having a staycation, you know, no traveling. And,
yeah.
We have to look on the bright side here.
Yeah. I don't think, Lisa, you're, I swear you sound like you're getting electrocuted. And poor Lisa. But it's just, I this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. This is a the coronavirus is the common cold, and they've done something to this one. And the people panicking, and like I say, every place you see shutting down, like schools, universities, all take federal funding. They didn't do this of their own volition. They did it to keep that money rolling in. That's exactly why they did it. And, of course, it scares a bunch of people. He's always, Sarah, but look, they closed the schools down. Yeah, what's your point? This is just such a fiasco. I cannot believe after all the crap our own government has pulled on us, all the false flag attacks from 911 on, all this crap that goes on that people bit on this one. This is the most ridiculous, hyped up, nonsensical thing I have ever seen. It's just, I just can't believe it. I can't believe it. But I refuse to be afraid. And I've had a cold before. I survived it. If I get a cold now, I'll survive it again. And I know that upsets some of you. But I will. Anyway, our guest tonight, Cuz, is Lisa Belanger. And Lisa is a good friend of mine. Plus, she's pretty outspoken. She's a little spitfire. And Lisa, welcome to the show.
Hey, Lisa.
She's up.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me on. So sorry about my voice tonight. I think you gave me your cold, Marty. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes, yes.
I know you like sharing, so thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Yep.
But, okay, yeah, do I start? Go ahead.
What?
I said,
well,
go ahead, Marty. 1, 2, 3. That's it.
Well, yeah, okay. You know, everybody now in this community, I think, has seen episode 5 on Dirty Money. And again, I want to thank Jigsaw Productions, who did this series for Netflix. I think they did an excellent job of getting this out here in an understandable format so people could clearly understand what's happening here. That John Sanovich, I swear I cried with that man.
Oh.
And they took everything from him, absolutely everything from him. And no explanation, absolutely no explanation. You're not going to believe this, girls, but we got a caller here. Hang on a second. Let's see what this is. Area code 646, did you have a question or comment?
Hi, Marty. Can
no,
you hear
I guess
me?
Not. Oh, wait a minute.
Can you hear me, Marty?
Wait a minute. Yeah. Yes.
Yes, great. Hi. Yes, Marty.
Hi.
My name is Sherry. Hi. I'm great friends with Luann. We go back quite a number of years. And unfortunately, I want to thank you for your great work in bringing to the forefront the abuse that's occurring in this country with our elders and our disabled individuals. I'm calling to report what has happened to my family, a terrible tragedy. A mom has dementia, and she became disabled a number of years ago when my dad got sick, and he was a 30-year veteran of the MTA. He had started working from the age of 11, so he worked virtually almost 60, 70 years of his life. When dad got sick, Guardian was put in control over my mother's assets. Unfortunately, there was a family member who had emotional illness, and she wasn't happy with the fact that, frankly speaking, she wasn't allowed to run through the money. So she ran to the city, and the city put in place this guardian. Dad, unfortunately, passed in the hospital. They would not allow him to return to his home, although he was in a sound state of mind and although I was his power of attorney. What the guardian has done, the guardian in one swipe took $55,000 out of my mother's checking account. What happened to the money? The money was paid to the co-op, $27,000. They have basically, I went to court and I actually obtained some of the court documents as an interested party. The money basically has been divided up among themselves. They are now trying to sell the co-op, which is the family home, and it's worth at least $1 million. The nursing home staff is involved. In fact, one of the directors of social work actually called me a couple of months ago to tell me about the property legal proceedings. The co-op board is in on it. I've reached out to the ombudsman, and the ombudsman seem like they really want to help. I've visited local politicians, and as probably many of you have experienced, it seems like there is initial interest, but as time goes by, the matter goes cold. Frankly speaking, I think with the exception of mass media exposure, it's going to be a difficult time getting a hold of this monster that has consumed so many of our seniors and our loved ones.
Well, that's what our show is about tonight, Sherry. And we've got Lisa Belanger on as a guest. She was featured in the expose done on Dirty Money. And I would like to talk to you more about this and do a complete interview with you. Can you stay on with us while we go on with this interview?
Absolutely. Yes, my pleasure. Thank
All right.
You.
Thank you. Okay, Lisa, when you were filming this, when you were filming this on Netflix or for Netflix, did you think that it was going to be as well done as it was? I thought it was done the format on it was just excellent, and it was presented without any embellishment or over-exaggeration or anything else. It was done in such a way that anybody sitting down and watching that show could understand clearly what was happening.
Well, I'll tell you what, I was so impressed. Actually, I didn't even know what to expect. And I didn't even know if I was going to be appearing on that show.
Yes.
Once they did the filming, they had complete control. I had absolutely no idea how they were putting it together. And I just did a lot of praying because I know that this particular show could really be the one forum that could really make a difference. And so, and we're talking about months. I think it was May and June.
Yeah.
With the filming. So we're talking about a long stretch there that I had no idea of whether even the show was going to even air, period.
Right.
So when I saw it for the first time, I just talk about speechless. I could not have imagined the incredible job that they did putting that together. It's amazing. In fact, it's still a little bit surreal for me. But the way they were able to go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, when there was that lag time, and I was supposed to go, in June and couldn't when my sister passed away, just within days of that. And but when there was that lag time you're talking about, I thought, they've brought the hammer down on them. They're not going to let them do this, because as we all know, every time we have gone to mainstream media trying to get this exposed, they might do a little tidbit of a story here or there, but they'll be really interested, and all of a sudden they fall off the radar. And if you can get those media people back on the phone, they'll tell you, I was told to squash it. I was told to shut it down. And this happens all the time. So, and I'm hoping mainstream media, if you can even call it that anymore, I mean, if people are so disillusioned with this bunch that passed us for national news, I hope they get a clue here. This is a major, major story that is going on. This country.
And they've researched it, because I know, and I'm so excited that, Lisa, that it's your story. But I would say probably over a year ago, it has been over a year ago that I've done phone interviews with them, and my sister and I spent about 500 hours together just sending them every document that we had on the at-holes. And they ended up not running it, but you know, I can only imagine they talked to so many different victims, and they chose you,
yes.
Lisa, and you represent you, and I'm so excited because I hope that maybe there'll be a sequel. And I'm just like,
yes.
How did you have to keep it secret? Like once you knew it was you, like so that the evils around you didn't know.
It was so secret that I didn't know until Marty told me.
Yeah.
When she texted me. I didn't even know that if I was going to be appearing on the show. I knew that John Savinovich's story was definitely going to be a part of it because I saw the clip. But they kept this so tight-lipped that
yes.
I knew nothing.
Wow. So I gotta know, like,
so you can only imagine
how upset are the guardians and lawyers and judges at you right now? I just wanna bask in the glory of it.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yes, I'm waiting in anticipation to know exactly their reaction. That's to be determined.
Wow.
I know this whole thing, and like I say, I just can't get over how well done it was. And not that they're not capable of doing things well. I don't mean it that way. It's just that this is a topic that can very easily be twisted and manipulated and become basically a sideshow. But the professionalism here is what really hit me, how well this was done. Yes.
The fact that they were able to simplify it, this very
yes.
convoluted topic
yep.
was so amazing to me.
Yep.
I was so excited the fact that they were able to streamline of this really incredibly complicated web of a system. And it's just the fact that they were able to break it down to its simplest components, I am thrilled beyond belief. I am so thankful of the job they did. And you know, I still have to watch it again because, you know, for me it's very hard to, you know, get through it all. It's very personal for me. And
yeah.
on multiple levels, not only because of, you know, John's particular situation, but with my dad as well. But
wow.
Jigsaw did a phenomenal, phenomenal job. I have been receiving such wonderful, compelling, powerful feedback from people all over.
Good. And
through emails, voicemails, on Twitter, Facebook, and that's really what gives me a lot of hope. And people think that really nothing can be done, but in actuality, it's those little pieces, when you put them together, they really do magnify and really become powerful. And I can't thank
yes.
people enough for even just taking the time to write the mm-hmm. email.
Right.
Because it really makes a difference. I mean, I'm sending the feedback that I'm getting, I'm sending them to senators, this is really the grassroots that gives this momentum. So I really appreciate everybody doing what they're doing.
This is something we all could do. Send a link to this show or a reference to it to every one of your senators and representatives. Send it to your governor. And hopefully they'll watch it, but these people like to play the plausible deniability thing. Nobody told me. Well, I didn't know that was happening. Well, how come nobody ever said anything? Well, I never saw anything about that. It must be an isolated incident. I've heard all these excuses and more. One of the recent excuses I heard here in Minnesota recently was from a staffer who made the claim that probate court, because I said it should be abolished, it's an abomination, that probate court saves the state millions of dollars. It not only does guardianship, conservatorship, and wills and trusts, but it does many other things too. And my first response to that, what other things? It's not supposed to be doing other things. I didn't get an answer to that. The
constitutional to begin with?
Yes. That
but
it, saves
but
the
let's
state
not
money.
Get the U.S. Constitution. You know, we don't want to get distracted with the U.S. Constitution or anything like that.
Well, they're going to suspend that under this emergency thing anyway, or this phony virus. But the other thing was, I corrected her. I said it does not save the state money, millions of dollars. It makes the state millions of dollars through that block grant you get from Title 20 Social Security. And I said, and then there's other cash incentivized funding that comes through Health and Human Services. I said that you also access, it isn't that it saves money, it makes money. And that's why you won't stop it. You'll gladly sell the elderly off in this state and know that they are being trafficked, they are being robbed, they are being isolated, they are being forcibly medicated, chemically restrained, and in the end, taken out in hospice. But as long as the money rolls in the door, you're not going to complain. You're not going to do anything.
No two ways about it.
Yeah. And we've seen this flurry of bills coming out here. So send to every one of these legislators a link to that show and say, this is what you are facilitating. This is what you are allowing. And this is what you have put into action, and you have provided immunity and cover for the people who do this. And then, you know, I always tell people, look at who they're getting campaign contributions from. Every time we go at the legislature over this stuff, the campaign contributions from the Bar Association, the fiduciary corporations, the National Guardianship Association, ICOR, they just go through the roof, and all of a sudden they can't do anything. Why, what are they supposed to do? They can't do anything about, well, it's not that bad. We have to protect these people. But there is nothing in the bills. Look in the bills in your own states. There is nothing to protect these people. In fact, they are reduced to chattel property. They are reduced, and we've seen companies calling them merchandise and units. That's how they see them. They are a product to be bought and sold. So, you know, here you are. And you're fighting with these people, and you're up against mega bucks. And here are the people that should be protecting you. Even at the federal level, their whole position is, this is state's business. We're not going to get into it. We don't collect stats on this because, you know, this is state's business. Well, you're forking over money. What do you mean you can't get into it? People's rights are being violated. Due process is being violated. And, I mean, Lisa, you know yourself, we've seen all over the place where the Supreme Court now won't hear pro se cases, 2008 rule 13 or something like that. They won't hear any more pro se cases, which are usually brought by people in this situation, the families, because the attorneys have bled them dry. But they haven't heard a pro se case since 1974. So what was that thrown in there for?
Never mind that that goes directly against the U.S. Constitution, how that originated to begin with, that laws are supposed to be interpreted and specifically done in such a way that the average citizen
Yes.
Have to know what the laws say.
Yes.
So the fact that they now, that they've taken the attitude of pushing the, you know, the average person, you know, aside, it's,
mm-hmm.
it's disgraceful. I mean, it just.
It is.
It's just the epitome of elitism. That's, you know.
Yes. We got another
caller. Isn't that the problem?
We got a quick call here, so hold on a second, girls. Area code 920, you're live and on the air. Do you have a question or comment?
I have a comment. Yes, this is
okay.
Kelly Brad. I've discussed
yes.
with you regarding my son in corporate guardianship
yes.
with autism. I just recently was sent through a panic from his guardian, and this is how
mm-hmm.
they started to do some odd things, and it's right before the coronavirus, like, scare. I get an email, and it says, hello, Kelly, I'm reaching out to you to discuss in the untimely death of Kurt. What would you like to see happen to him? Burial, cremation, etc. Have you thought of a funeral home you would like to use for services? With this information, Corporate Guardians of Northeast Wisconsin would look at setting up an irrevocable funeral trust account for Kurt Brandt. Well, no, it was for KB at the end of the note. But,
okay.
you know.
All right. All right, Kelly, I've been following your story. And, you know, as I told our other caller, we're trying to get this interview done with Lisa this evening. I do intend to get in touch with you and set up an interview with you. So if you just be patient with me, I've been on the road a lot and traveling a lot, talking a lot, and I'm just trying to get caught up right now. So don't think I'm ignoring
you.
I'm not. Okay?
We'll do a big Wisconsin show because Kelly's here in Wisconsin with us.
Yes, and I'm not
yes.
too far away. Okay?
No.
No. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thank you. Oh, wow. I'm telling you, this, and normally I don't take phone calls, but I think this this interview is that important to giving credit, like I say, to Netflix and Jigsaw Productions. And I think it has encouraged people that someone is listening. Someone does see that there are problems in this. And I don't know. You know something, girls, the other thing that bugs me, too, is you see fiduciary, like we got that big one running up here in Minnesota that's got its hook so far into our legislature. They can have all the time they want. They can go to dinner with them. They can sit and tie up the House and Senate here all day long. They can do whatever they want because, by God, they got money. And they have this group set up that covers two or three states, and if you read the literature in there, it just give you the warm fuzzies. Unfortunately, it's all a bunch of crap. And but as a common everyday person, for me to speak to the legislature, I'm lucky if I get 3 to 5 minutes. They absolutely do not want to hear from the public. They absolutely, on any issue, you get 3 to 5 minutes. Half of them get up and leave the room. They absolutely will not talk to you. You cannot get past their staffers. They don't want to hear it. But again, like I say, these professional fiduciaries can walk in the door and take a nap on the sofa, and that's just damn fine. But I think what this program did, I think they opened the proverbial can of worms. I truly
yes.
do. I think this not only legitimize this topic and what's going on, but it is going to require them to do something. And one of the things I have found out over the years in writing, and back when I used to have my newspaper column, is people would get angry at me, and I finally realized what they were angry about, because everything I wrote was documented and resourced, not to somebody's blog or something else, but to government documents, to laws, to all this. It's one thing to scream at somebody, you're a conspiracy theorist, oh, you're just crazy, you don't know what you're talking about. But when you put those kind of links in things and you go directly to that reference and you present them, they got even angrier, because now they were faced with, this is what's actually happening. What are you going to do? And that obligation to respond. Once you know something, you have an obligation to respond, to get up and do something. And this is what they became most angry about, was because they didn't want to. And with our legislators and lawmakers, if you can even call them that, this episode on Dirty Money is going to do the same thing. This has been made a national issue with this airing.
Yeah.
You can't say you didn't know. You can't say nobody told you. Why, I didn't know it was that bad. This was done in such a way you can see it made you angry watching it when you saw the corruption that was so blatant and the destruction of these people's lives so somebody else could drive a fancy car. Somebody else could put a couple $1 million in their bank account. And I still maintain the most insidious part of this whole thing is forcing the victim to pay the people that are coming after him or her.
Oh, pay for your murder.
Yes, I keep saying it's like being forced to pay for the rope they're going to hang you with. This is so sickening. Now, and please, I'm already getting messages here. Well, somebody did something or they wouldn't have known. Nobody did anything. This is a crime of aging with assets. That's what this is. You have something somebody else wants.
Well, I don't know if all the listeners are aware. Lisa is an attorney. She's not.
Yes.
I mean, she's not like clueless. You know, I mean, here is an attorney who knows the law, and this happened to her family. And I mean, then this should be the message. Like, this can happen to anyone. I mean, we have Britney Spears. We have, you know, I mean, go up onto all the different celebrities down, you know, to they're going to make a few bucks off of someone off of their Social Security. I mean, there's really there's nobody that it can escape this. It doesn't matter really how much money you have. It's like it's like they throw noodles against the wall and they see what's going to stick. They put people in guardianships. And when they get one with big money, it's like, you know, they hit the bank account. But then they'll do like what we had found in Pennsylvania. There's like the one guardian, like Carol Hershey. She gets all the people who she's going to make $100 a month, you know, off of Social Security, but she'll have like, you know, 2,000 of them or something. So that adds up to be a lot of money. And then you have the other ones that are worth, you know, millions and millions of dollars. And it's just, they're just throwing noodles against a wall. And so if you think you don't have money that you're safe from this, you're not, because they don't know what all your assets are until they've got you in their web. Once they figure your assets, they're going to divvy you out how they choose. And no one is immune.
I am so glad that you brought that point up, because when you do see this episode of Guardian Inc. with Netflix, the two stories deal with people who seem to have, you know, a lot of financial worth. And that is a really huge message that I'm so thrilled that you said that about, that it doesn't matter whether you are rich or poor, because the bread and butter of this racketeering scheme really takes place with the people who really don't have that much money. Why these people are so valuable to these court-appointed guardians is because they get government benefits. So whether it's Social Security, SSDI, you know, whatever benefit that they're getting from the government, the bread and butter is the Medicare and Medicaid fraud. So that's where they're bilking the money. So when you see a person that gets under guardianship that has substantial wealth, that's just like the cherry on top.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, and the thing of this is too, look at this in the context of the local economy. One guardian with, does say, just one person on Social Security. That's all they're getting. The guardian is taking the Social Security. And the doctors and the hospitals come in $30 to $60 billion a year in fraud, Medicaid, Medicare fraud, mostly Medicare. I want to remind everyone, there is not a retiree out there that can bill or get a check from Medicare for medical services. It ain't happening. It is the doctors, it is the therapist, it is the surgeons, it is the hospital, it is the nursing home. They're all milking this system dry. Now, the federal government knows this, and every once in a while they tap one or two or maybe a small group of them, but they know this goes on constantly. If you call, Center for Medicaid Services, you call them on their tip line to report, which I did in my mother's case, because we had billing that showed in one day she had the same set of x-rays four times, the same set of blood tests four times, supposedly. And I said, this is obviously fraud. And the response was, well, what do you want us to do about it? Well, you're the tip line. You're supposed to look into this. Well, I'm not doing that. And, you know, so we're paying this outfit all this money. But like I say, go back and look at this in the context of the local economy. That one individual targeted under one of these guardianships on Social Security is generating a massive amount of money in the local economy. But through they're used as a medical ATM through Medicare, Medicaid, whatever they got, their insurance company.
As you said,
they're getting government funding. They're getting all sorts of cash incentives to keep this going. So just that's just one person. So you look at somebody like Carol Hershey or Mary Rowan up in Detroit, who has 1,700 plus victims. She's taking all their Social Security, their railroad retirement, any, you know, VA benefits. She's made herself, these women make themselves the assigned payee on all their benefits, and they give their ward $44 a month, which is all they're required to. And do you know that in both cases, they're not required to see their ward more than once a year, yet they're making financial decisions, medical decisions, where they're going to live, who they can talk to, what they can do, but they don't ever have to see them. Now, how the hell does that work?
And as if there's any oversight to begin with.
Yes, yes, yes. And then they submit these fraudulent. Go ahead.
Well, the judge is supposed to be the overseer to seemingly be as though he's going to go through the paperwork and go through these reports to make sure that the guardian is doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
When you go into court, you're lucky if you get 5 minutes to speak. I mean, we know how busy they are.
Well, there's money to count, girl.
They look at the watch and say, counsel, how much time do you think it'll take for you to finish up your argument? Because it's getting close to lunchtime.
Every single time.
In Montgomery County, they'll drag it out for days because they're billing. I think it was $300,000 he paid for a one-day trial. It was like 8 hours. There was more attorneys than the O.J. Simpson trial, all making money off of this date. I'm pretty sure it was $300,000. And they dragged that one out.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, just look at John Savinovich's cases. Okay, I think I've lost count as to how many attorneys are actually on that case.
Wow.
Yeah.
They need an attorney to carry the other attorney's briefcase.
The first case I ever went in to listen to when I was first in this about 10, 11, 12 years ago, I walked in and I'm sitting there and I saw these men lined up down the wall with briefcases and I thought, what's this, you know? And then I find out that it's all attorneys who are all filing into this estate. and getting paid to do it. And they, I've heard this term flung around about, well, this you're a vexatious litigant, you know, these are frivolous motions and everything. I sat and listened to that day of the most flimsiest excuses for why they were bringing a motion to enter into that case, and the judge okayed every damn one of them, every one of them. And yet the family, when they tried to present evidence or anything else, were told specifically, I don't even want it on my desk. Sit down and be quiet. I don't want to hear anything you have to say.
I mean,
and this is how this runs.
Well, the way it runs in Massachusetts is that there's supposed to be a list where for supposed, you know, the court appointments, so that it's like on a supposed rotational basis. I'm still waiting to actually see where that list is, because what happens more often than not, the attorneys who are going to be appointed are already sitting in that courtroom. So,
yeah,
the petitioners, they already, the judge will ask them, well, who would you like to be appointed as court guardian today? I mean, they specifically, they even write that in their own motions.
Yeah.
That's how arrogant they are, that they will even put it in writing who they're going to choose to speak with to appoint. That's how connected these people are. They already know before they even walk in the courtroom that they're going to be appointed.
Well, you know, Lisa, when you filed those RICO actions.
I'm sorry. You mean the bad things I said about judges with 4,000 pages of documents proving everything that I said?
Yeah.
That thing?
Yeah, the one that the judge couldn't read because there were just too many words.
Oh,
and
I'm sorry. The one. You mean
the basis of
why they want to take away my license?
Yeah, that would be the one.
Because that one? <I'm>
yeah. And that's what happens, too, with these. When we get an attorney like Lisa who will stand up and fight this system, the whole Bar Association will turn on you like they've done on her. And they will try to disbar them. They will sanction them. They will ruin their careers. They'll malign them. They will put out fictitious articles about them, file all kinds of complaints against them. And, of course, the Bar Board of Overseers and the Judicial Oversight Council, they can read all of that stuff and, oh, this is terrible, and we've got to do something about her. But when you file a complaint, oh, we don't see anything wrong. No, there's no problem here. And actually, they're telling the truth. And the reason they're telling the truth is they've done the very same things themselves that these other attorneys have done. And, well, I can't call him guilty because I did it too. And but this is the way this goes. This is one reason I believe we need to get rid of self-policing. You cannot let, like, the police or the Bar Association or the judges police themselves. That is a protection racket. That's all that is. That's a protection racket. And I read recently, statistically, they dismiss 99% of all the complaints that come across their desk, which is why I keep advocating for setting up a citizens' council. You file a complaint against an attorney or a judge, it goes not only to them, to the Bar Association, the Judicial Oversight, but it also goes to this citizens' committee, which cannot be peopled by somebody's deadbeat relative or the son or daughter of the judge, or anybody else. They have to be totally cut off from this bunch.
Well, leave it to attorneys and judges to think that they're above every other human being, that they supposedly can self-police themselves.
Oh, yes.
I mean,
I know that.
Really, I mean, the arrogance is pretty sickening.
I brought this up down in Minneapolis, and here a few years ago, and one of the state court judges said to me, he said, Marty, see, you don't understand. He said, you know, you couldn't do this because the common person it really does not understand the law. And I said, well, apparently neither do you, judging by some of the rulings you've made, and which upset him. And but,
yeah.
You know, you see this coming out of the...
Did you tell the truth?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, really?
Yeah.
You just spoke the truth, didn't you?
Yeah, well, and the idea that these people have self-claimed immunity. No, you don't. I don't care what rule you made, what you decided for yourself. No, you don't. The 14th Amendment says the law will be applied equally. Equally. It doesn't say if you've got a black robe on, you're exempt. If you call yourself a bar attorney, you're exempt. If you're a police officer who shoots somebody down over a broken taillight, you're exempt. Does it say that?
That is one of
doesn't
the biggest. It's what I like to call, the immunity would be a huge factor in bringing what I call the law of natural accountability. Because if the self-made immunity provisions, if they didn't exist, that would be an incredible mechanism just by the natural consequences that's bringing accountability by people being able to bring to light what's going on. Now, as if legislators were really going to want to get rid of immunity, that would probably be a wonderful thing, right? I mean, I know that the majority of legislators are lawyers, so therefore, you know, they really don't have an incentive now, do they, to really wanting to do the right thing.
I'd like them to put that question on the ballot and let we the people vote on that.
Well,
Or how about one to disbar the bar to break up these monopolies called bar associations, which they brag about how they've monopolized our courts. How about a provision on our ballots to disbar
Most certainly it is a monopoly, and I've had the good fortune of getting to know another attorney who has been retaliated by the New York Bar, and she is working diligently on putting together a fantastic law review about that very particular issue.
Awesome.
So I'm going to be looking forward to introducing you to Tatiana Neroni, and so that very issue is going to be shining a light, right? You know, how exactly you said that, Marty, going right to showing about the monopoly.
Yes.
Bar associations. So that's coming soon to a theater near you.
Awesome. Hey, I have a question. How are the ratings going on the Netflix? Like, how many people are watching it? Because it just came out 2 days ago. Does anyone know that information?
It's on the top 10. It was last night at about 12:30. It was number 10 of the most viewed in the United States. And today, just before the show, it was up to number 5 of the most viewed. So it has had millions of views. Because that's what hit the top 10. Millions of views.
If I could ask this, I really think because of the reach so far and wide of this, fantastic Netflix series, I'm hoping that people will actually call the governor's office of Massachusetts, because when people actually call the governor's office, they really do feel the pressure. So I'm hoping that people will be able to do that as well, because that really will help in making sure that John's okay.
Aww,
yeah, I think that's a good idea. Yeah,
I mean, that's
think
the hardest part, because you understand that I was forced out of being his attorney.
And that's very
the,
common
the probate
too,
and family court judge ruled that I could not be his attorney, and was adamant that the court-appointed attorney had to remain as his attorney.
Wow. And what was
so
the reason
figure,
for
figure
this?
That one out. So therefore, you know, I have absolutely no idea what is happening to that man.
Yeah. Why did they want you gone?
Because I did my usual thing of exposing the exploitation that happened, from the judge himself with the appointment that he made in this case. He did not like the fact that I exposed that.
Do you think he's sleeping well tonight after this?
Well, you know, I definitely hope not. But you know, these people are very, very they're really not even human. Almost, thinking. So, you know, they pretty much think that they're untouchable. That, you know, that they're above the law. So, that was my big hope with this, you know, documentary, that it will bring accountability.
Yeah.
Yeah. Marty and I have done many shows.
The
psychopaths and the narcissists, and because it's so hard to wrap your brain around, like I just look at what these people do and I just go, wow, you kill people for money, you destroy families for money. And it's like I can't imagine, like, they find each other and they just work in this cabal and just do it. And it's the hardest thing to wrap your brain around. Like, how are people perpetrating these on other humans until you realize they're basically monsters?
Cause,
that's what they are.
Just reminded me. This is no joke. This really happened in John Savinich's case. I said in court to the judge, I used that word cabal. And he looked at me and he said, did you just say cabal? And then he spelled C-A-B-A-L. I said, yes, that's the word I used. He said, and then he defined it as being, you know, this negative light portrayed on this little group. And I said, well, that's pretty much the meaning, Your Honor.
Of course,
he wouldn't let me have, he put an order that I'm not allowed to have the recording of that particular proceeding, of course.
Oh. I wonder why.
Are there transcripts?
Go ahead.
Are there transcripts of this if you can't have the video recording?
No, there's no. Unfortunately, there is no video recording in Massachusetts, except unless you decide that you're going to do it for yourself. So it's all on electronic audio recording. And what's so difficult, so people really need to know that the best thing that they can do for themselves is to make sure that after every single proceeding that they get these recordings. And they need to fight like tooth and nail for them. But whatever you do, you need to get them, because that's the one thing that is proof in as best as it could be. Because oftentimes you'll see that what goes on is the judges and the clerks have control over these electronic audio recordings. And,
yes.
and the funniest thing happens that sometimes things don't get onto the audio recording that actually happened. You know,
yeah.
funny
actually,
thing,
there's
a little trigger finger, you know, kind of, I don't know.
Yes.
It might be a little neurological
little,
problem.
No, they have a control board up there behind their little bench thing that allows them when they really step outside the boundaries, they can shut that off. And then when they step back in, they can turn it back on. And but the other thing is like here in Minnesota, these are tribunals are not courts of record, and they don't have to keep any transcripts, any videos. And in fact, we have a law here that well, a statute that you cannot videotape a criminal trial. And I thought, now why would that be? Well, I find out that the reason for that is there is so much coercion, so much fabricated evidence, so much that they do to these people, trying to get them, you know, false confessions, everything just to get them to leave them alone. And these plea
yeah.
deals that they strike, that people, even people that they know are innocent, they don't want
yeah.
any record of that. So,
yes.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, that is so key. And I'll tell you, that's another, if there was some way, I guess, you know, legislatively, and if that were ever possible, that is another mechanism for bringing natural law of accountability. If every single courtroom had video and audio recording.
Now, do you think, like, with as technology is changing, and like, how do we know that I don't have like a little bow in my hair and it's secretly like some kind of GoPro kind of thing recording everything? You know, like, how soon does technology work where I'm going to be 007 technology? You don't know. I'm video recording everything.
Well,
like,
it depends on the state, but you see, what happens is usually when people do that, they have wonderful ways of retaliating against them. For you know, in Massachusetts, you're not allowed to you know, they make it against the law to record anything in these buildings.
You know, I was court watching in another case here about 6 years ago where somebody had done exactly this cause, and the probate examiner had said there'll be no videotaping and no recordings, and then blah, 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 you know, and somebody did anyway. So they brought it into court, back into this court, and they said, based on the evidence contained in this, and he said, that's not evidence. I told you not to do it. So the person published it, and they went after him. His defense was, you said this wasn't evidence. If it's not evidence, there's no way you can rule on it. And I didn't do anything wrong. You said it was of no value. And
yeah.
so,
but seriously, that's
yeah.
what is actually, I mean, I always say I need to have a body cam on me at all times. Really,
yeah.
But people really, that is what is needed.
Yeah.
Well,
because
they make you
how else
security.
Are you going to show the real story?
When, mm-hmm. Yeah, and they make you go through security before you go into any of these courtrooms because they're probably they're not just looking for a gun; they're looking for your what's in your bow, like my little cameras and stuff.
Yeah.
But
yes.
I'm gonna
yes.
figure it out. I'm gonna figure out how to wire myself up, and I'll be going live. I'll be on Facebook Live, and they won't know it.
And that's the way
I'm
to
pleading,
do it.
Okay, I can't represent you in that state.
I won't tell anybody. I'll keep it. I'm like, oops. Oh, is that me?
Yeah, I'll stick to. I can't hear you.
What is wrong with this hair bow? No.
Oops,
yeah, this,
did I wear
this,
my video recording this, hair bow? Oops.
I didn't mean to do that. And but yeah, it's just this system is so twisted and such an abomination. And for our legislators to refuse to shut this down and claim that it is some sort of benefit to the state How is this a benefit? That's what I don't understand. In what way is this a benefit? You are torturing people. You are robbing them.
And legislators.
Them of their life, their freedom.
And it's just like what you said, though, Marty, is that don't tell me that these legislators don't know what's going on. That's
right.
Bull.
Oh, they do.
Okay. So, you know,
really.
I guess the question is, what is it that makes it that these legislators
are
refusing? Say again?
That money and donations, those donations of those funds, their campaign funds. That's what keeps it rolling. If we had, you know, a couple $100,000 to blow on buying somebody's vote, you know, they'd pay attention to us. The fact is, we don't. So they're after the big money people. And they will sell, you know, I think they all ought to just post a sign on the door to their offices, this office, and my vote is for sale. You know, leave your check on the desk. this is exactly what it gets down to. And, you know, just like here in Minnesota, the fact that our legislature colludes with what are known predators, sits down and eats with them, absolutely makes my stomach turn. These are people
okay.
we voted and put into office, people, and they aren't. They're representing special interests that keep them flush in funds. That's exactly what they're doing.
Well, it has to be because, I mean, for this to be going on as long as it has, I mean, you know, we've discussed this before with the GAO reports, the decades
yes.
that they've been saying that they still don't know how many guardianships there are. So 30 years later, we still don't have any statistics. Right.
Oh,
That's convenient. Well, there's
the thing. Yeah, according to the federal government, they don't collect statistics on this. Yet the GAO,
yeah.
at least every 2 years, produces a report on it claiming the X number and that they had this many complaints or knew of this many cases across the United States. But they only looked at 5 or 12 of them. Well, that'll work.
But they outright even state that they we still don't have enough data, though. I mean, they just,
yeah,
they say the same thing over and over and over.
Yeah, exactly. And then when they did issue their report, especially that one in 2010, with the thousands of cases that were reported to them about these professional predators, their claim was, well, we looked at 12 cases across 5 states, and apparently it's usually family members or members of the community. No mention of these professional predators. Not a word about those folks.
Exactly, and it's a little concerning that the DOJ, they want to put out these little blasts of information about supposedly people that they're indicting regarding, you know, this type of elderly exploitation, you know, from the nursing homes.
Yeah.
And but here's the thing. They've put across so many that are big cases, millions and millions. But realistically, they're not even. It's amazing to me that they're not. That they can just ignore, but we really know, though, who's really behind it. We're not going to go after the real, you know, the judges and the attorneys
right.
who we know are helping to facilitate the money laundering. I mean,
yes.
and it's kind of ironic. How is it that you have these crimes of money laundering and RICO, and only one person is indicted? How is that?
Right, right.
I'm just scratching my head. Just saying.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Just saying.
And that's, you know, we brought this up many times across various shows. If any one of us out here in the public did what these professional predators do and these attorneys along with them, we'd be in prison for the rest of our lives. There would be restitution. You could pay back what you stole. And, you know, I've said even when they nail one of these predators, And they say, well, there won't be any restitution because they've hidden everything. We'll do like you do with these everyday people you guardianize. Do an asset search. Find what they had, where it went, and demand that it be brought back because the victim wants their property back. It's simple enough to find out where these people have stashed stuff, if they actually, in fact, have. But what you see is they're driving these big, big, expensive cars, living in little palatial estates. They're taking very expensive Caribbean vacations. They are eating in the best restaurants almost every night of the week. What I'm saying is they live this very lavish lifestyle as a result of being a parasite. That's what these people are. They are parasites. And they are sucking the life out of a large
section of our... Well, isn't that a perfect... It's a perfect example. I really was very, very impressed at the way they were able to highlight the original social that was the guardian of Charlie Thrasher's case. That the younger woman.
Yeah,
she didn't know how much money she was making though.
Yeah. She was supposedly the granddaughter of his brother that he was estranged from. And she
who
was the only family member that... Go ahead.
Who happened to be a professional guardian and had 38 other cases.
Oh, darn. Imagine that. And
wow.
I wonder how that happened. Somebody explain that to me because I just can't. But this is, you know, this thing. And the thing is, what really bugs me, I've said this many times, is the corruption is so blatant. So in your face, and with this whole attitude, you can't do anything about it.
That's the biggest thing that really. Well, that's the hardest part to me, as you see in my federal racketeering case. Okay, I mean hard, cold evidence in your face, and the judge is going to say, "I'm sorry, it's too long. I can't read that." Nothing to see, folks. Move along.
I wrote her a letter behind that, Lisa, and said that obviously by her own admission, the job was too demanding for her, and she needed to step down. I didn't hear back from her. I said, you know, by your own admission, you can't read these cases that come in front of you if they've got too many words. That indicates to me that you're not qualified for the job. And because on any given day, I can sit here and read half the internet. You know, come on.
But
it just, you know what I'm saying?
Let's not forget about the conflict of interest that she forgot to disclose, that she was co-counsel with defense counsel for the Guardian in a case back just a few years earlier.
Yes.
Okay.
And how did
she forgot to say something about that.
Oh,
but
no.
That's neither here nor there.
No.
And the appeals court didn't care either, for that matter.
Yeah.
So
I
have a question for Lisa. Now that you're like a celebrity, are there like other news outlets like reaching out to you for interviews, like?
Well,
have you gotten?
No, let's see. Lonnie Brennan has been fantastic at the Boston Broadside, let me tell you.
Yes.
But since my debut, I think people haven't been really rushing, you know, not yet. They're waiting.
Even
they know that I've been so busy with getting calls from people.
Well, the other thing is, Lisa, you don't want to let that information out there. I understand why you're being hesitant, because we know there are people involved in this who will start hammering your contacts to death about how important they are, and you know, if it wasn't for them and why they were once king of Neptune, and you know, you know what I'm saying. With all this ridiculous stuff, we've had it happen before. So those contacts, I don't blame you. Keep them under your vest and keep them to yourself. Otherwise, the interference will be extreme.
And just, it's not that I wouldn't love to be able to use every forum that I can. It's not that I wouldn't love to. I'm just not able to at this time.
Yeah, and just don't keep it to yourself. That's the way we have to do everything. Is we have to stay under the radar and don't make any announcements. Don't tell where you're going to be or what you can tell you get back. And because otherwise the
interference.
Well,
that's not a lie. I don't know what I'm going to have for breakfast the next morning either. So
yeah. Well, we did a show. Yeah, we did a show here a while back, Kaz and I, called Glory Hogs. And these are the people supposedly are on the same side of the issue we are, but are more interested in becoming a celebrity than they are anything else. And they have derailed a lot of good efforts, caused a lot of problems in various places. But one of the places they have caused problems is with the media. I know in the instance of Netflix, they were just absolutely ready to walk to New York, demanding they be included in this episode. Unfortunately for those people, their efforts were not at all appreciated. And we appreciate Netflix and Jigsaw Productions for that, because this could have derailed this very quickly. We've seen this happen numerous times. And that's one thing I want to say to people out there: when you're getting involved in something, don't make big announcements, because there are people in this who will, the minute they get wind of it, will push their way into it and insert themselves into it. And then if it goes bad, it's going to be all your fault. And if it looks like it's going to do something, they're going to stand up and go, "Look what I did. If it wasn't for me." If it wasn't for you.
Oh, that's, yeah, the glory hog. Now, when you say the organization that is not the glory hog, but is like the main organization, I don't know for sure if this is right, Marty, you would know. Didn't Dirty Money, when they first caught wind of this whole topic, wasn't it NASCA that they contacted first to get some stories?
Yes. NASCA
that's what I thought.
Several places on the net. In many places, as a reference, as a valid, bona fide reference. I've seen it in Cornell Law, various places in legislatures, that for background information and documentation and verifying what you have or you think you're looking at, that NASCA is the go-to organization. They are considered an organization of national importance. So, yes, they were the ones that they went to first. And this is why I work with them. I'm not a member of NASCA because I have to stay independent, and I don't want them getting any blowback for anything I do or say, which can be severe at times. I have to remain independent, but it is my go-to organization when I need information, when I, need a contact that I don't have, and they know that that's safe with me. I'm not going to blow it out there all over the net. No, guess who I talked to? It was this, and I'm so important shut the hell up. But anyway, yeah, NASCA has, for all the time I've been doing this, which is, we'll start our 12th year, June 10th. But all the years, it's been my go-to organization. They don't get involved in all of this ego-driven crap out there. They don't get in the cat fights on the net. I don't participate in those either. I think it's an exercise in futility and a waste of my time. And furthermore, I don't want to dignify the crap somebody else is blowing out there by responding to it. They can look crazy all by themselves. They don't need any help from me. They're doing a fine job all alone. always NASCA. And in fact, when I've talked to federally or statewide politicians, I've had NASCA brought up to me, or if I mention NASCA, they know exactly who it is. And it's regarded in high respect. There's a reason for that. They conduct themselves in a respectful way, and yet they attack the issues constantly and of what's going on. But it's a difference between being a professional and being a amateur glory hog.
Breeding a glory hog. Well, 100% of our, and there's been many media stories on Harvey, on Ottholes, and 100% of those stories happened because of NASGA. And obviously they didn't run the Otthole story on Netflix, but that was so exciting to work with different producers and talk to different, it was so much fun. My sister and I just organizing. So what we would do is had the summaries that we sent to them, and then we had all the documents, and we'd be up at night. I'd be hostessing at the steakhouse, and I'd go in the office, and her and I'd be on the phone until 1 a.m. Okay, let's get this story done and this story. And we just had so much fun. But one contact that we even got that a possible foot in the door, that was NASGA. And I was wondering, Lisa, is that how they found out about you? Was that NASGA?
That's my understanding.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. I want to, because they're not glory hogs, let's give a shout out to NASGA. How amazing
please.
They are.
NASGA and Marty were there with me right from the beginning. And really can't thank NASGA and Marty enough for all that they've done. I wouldn't have been able to do what I've done.
When we were out in D.C., Lisa, aside from all of this, which is an ugly, ugly issue, we had fun. And because, you were out there this last year, brought me a donut, bless your little heart.
And a NASGA T-shirt. Yes.
And, you have to find places and people where you can relax and laugh and just talk. You have to find that. You have to, because if you just stick to this all the time, I'm telling you, the depression will tear you up, the sadness over it, the anger over it. For us to be able to get together in D.C. and, spend a few minutes poking fun at each other and laughing and carrying on, it's healthy, and it helps keep you balanced.
We had so much fun, and I always call it my group. We just are so bonded, because if you tell me the story of what happened to you, I don't think you're crazy. I actually believe you. And I'm you know what? It happened to me too. And I always baffles my mind. Here I'm just a baker. I'm a baker mom kind of, I kind of feel like I'm not a lawyer or a reporter Marty, and I'm just a baker. And yet I can fit in and have something to bring to the table. I always think, why do they keep me around? I'm just a baker.
Oh.
And you know what it is? It's because we all have a common something that's that bond. And I just feel like I've made so many wonderful friends. We had Austin on the show last week, and she's just, one of my dearest friends. We're always talking. And it's because Judge Ott brought that friendship together. And because of Boomers Against Elder Abuse, that's how we all found each other, was on that Facebook page. And then NASGA uniting all of us together. And there's about 20 people that I stay real good friends with, but we now have the documents of 200 victims. But it's nothing like what Rachel or Gretchen got there in Michigan. But it's just something how it just reunites everybody. And that's our one common thing. We all get along, and we do. We have a lot of fun, because you can't focus on so much evil because it will consume you.
Yes, it will. And like I say, not only is that an important event to attend, but it's an opportunity to actually see each other, to just, like I say, let your hair down. I believe when you guys came to where we were staying, I was in my pajamas.
we have the
pajama
picture.
Thing again. Sorry, Miss.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I was so bummed not to be there. I'm coming this year.
2 years ago when we were in D.C., there was four of us stayed in a hotel room. And here this last year, somebody that was following this case said, well, do you even know Lisa Belanger? I said, no, I slept with her.
No, because of Netflix. Because of Netflix, yeah. I can now say, do you know who I am?
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. And I brought all the cookies, and we had a little cookie party. It was like over 100 degrees down there, and our hair, Marty and I have that picture together, and we were both having some wild hair in that weather there.
I am getting a hair piece. I don't care. It's going to be a cheap one. But they don't go berserk in all that humidity and whatever happens out there in D.C. I cannot believe what happens to my hair out there. It just, even my son saw a picture, and he said, Mama, what happened to your hair?
Well, they don't call it a swamp for no reason, right?
Yeah, there you go. Got about 3 minutes left. Lisa, I want to thank you for coming on, and congratulations on the Guardians, yeah, Inc. episode on Dirty Money on Netflix. That was really, I think, for this movement, it was a marked moment. I think we're going to see behind this things start to change, because it's been outed now publicly across the country. Like, say, for it to hit number 5 viewed in the United States, it had to have had at least 2.5 million hits. So,
woo!
Congratulations.
Well, I'm still in, well, you know, and, you know, as you and Cause were describing earlier, you know, even say like Cause, and, you know, you weren't necessarily, you know, in it as far as like the actual filmage,
mm-hmm,
but
yeah,
still you were a part of it. So
I feel that,
you know, it's like very symbiotic. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
You
and
know, this
one,
really was
one of the stuff,
a group,
yeah,
you know, you can't just single out,
yes,
you know, I may have, you know, technically been on there to be able to lend a voice, but it was only because of people like you and Marty and Nazga to be able to make that happen.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I thank you all. I thank you all because it would not have been possible without you all.
Well, and that's like with the summit, us getting a panel. One of the reasons we got it was because we were backed up by NASCA. So, I mean, that organization carries a lot of weight, and it's been around longer than anybody, I think. And I don't mean that like there aren't other good groups out there. There are. There most definitely are.
Absolutely.
But there are also 2 or 3 you need to studiously avoid, but we'll leave you to learn that on your own, because I don't down anybody. You know, I don't, I have hard and fast rules about who I'll work with, and I avoid others studiously because I know nothing but ill will is going to follow. We're down to 1.5 minutes, girls. Thank you both, Cause. Great having you back on again tonight when you're not baking pies and cakes. And Lisa,
tomorrow's
I'm
pie
so
day.
Pie day. I'll be right
over. It's 3:14. Oh, I've been making pies like out my ears. And tomorrow is pie day. Go and buy local and eat pie tomorrow.
Okay. I want to remind everybody these shows are brought to you in coordination with Marcel Reed and the Whistleblower Summit, taking place this year in Washington, D.C., July 28th through the 31st. If this fool in the White House doesn't put us under martial law and stop all travel, we'll be there. I might walk there anyway. You don't know. I could use the exercise. Anyway, thank you, everybody, for tuning in to our 2 callers tonight. I've got your numbers. I will be contacting you in the next 2 or 3 days, get you set up for an appointment, get your stories out there. For everybody else, thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate it. We had a full call board, and we got that little flag again. We were about to exceed our bandwidth, so must have been a good crowd. Anyway, thank you,
yay,
and most especially thank you to Jigsaw Productions and Netflix for airing this episode on Guardianships, Inc. Thank you so much. You did more for us in that one episode than we've been able to do in a year. We thank you, all of us. With that, I'll say good night. Good night, girls.
Good night.
Night.